Well, good morning, everybody, and happy Sabbath. Today, I want to begin a new series on the book of James. And I'm going to call the series A Faith That Works in a Crisis. And each presentation will have kind of a subtitle. This particular sermon is called A Faith That Handles Problems. And if you're interested in the outline, you'll find it on our church website in a place that, you know, you can easily download or print for yourself the outline and be able to utilize that that resource if you like doing the fill in the blanks and things like that while you listen to the sermon. So anyway, let's dive right in. I want to start in James 1. And read verses 2 through 4, and I'm going to use the Phillips translation. James says, "When all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Realize that they come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. But let the process go on until that endurance is fully developed, and you will find you have become a person of mature character. Now, when you write a letter, you normally figure that the guy is going to warm up and ease into his subject. Perhaps he's going to have a few preliminaries, opening remarks, and then move into the message. But James starts challenging us right away in verse 2. He says, and I'm reading now from the New Living Translation, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds." How would you like to have someone say that? You've got problems? Be happy. And well, I just want to pause there for a moment. You know, last year, 2020, was filled with a major crisis on planet Earth. And we all have been living through this pandemic. We're hoping 2021 is a better year. And sometimes we think when the new year rolls around, things are going to be different the next year. But here's James saying, you know what? You got problems. What you ought to be doing is not wishing for circumstances that didn't have problems. You ought to be happy. And you and I might be thinking, well, how? There's no way I could be happy. You don't know my situation. The key is the phrase that comes next, because you know. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. In other words, your attitude is determined by your understanding. Rejoicing is not just based on positive thinking, but on understanding some basic facts of life. And so I want to start by looking at some basic facts of problems. And if you're using the outline, here's the first fill in the blank. Problems are inevitable. Inevitable. Scripture doesn't say, if you encounter problems, consider it joy. Instead, it says, but when you encounter problems. Whenever. In other words, count on it. You're going to have problems. If you don't have problems, check your pulse. It's a fact of life. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. So problems are not an elective in life. They're a required course. You don't get out of them by saying you don't want to have any problems. Nobody's immune. It's inevitable that you will have problems in life. The second fact about problems is that problems are variable. For those of you filling in the outline, that's the word to fill in under number 2. Problems are variable. In other words, they come in all shapes and sizes. One thing about problems, you don't get bored with them. There's a wide variety. Ever tried to match paint? The word in the Greek for many kinds is literally multicolored. There are problems, in other words, of many shades and varieties. They vary in intensity. They vary in frequency. They vary in duration. Some are minor inconveniences and some are major crises. We have all kinds and shapes of problems. Third fact about problems is that problems are unpredictable. Unpredictable. He says, whenever you face problems. The word face in Greek is peripepto. It literally means to fall into unexpectedly. It's the same word used in the story of the Good Samaritan, where the man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, peripepto, he fell among thieves. In other words, it was unexpected. And that's true about problems. Problems are not planned. We seldom can anticipate the problems we're going to experience in life. It's probably a good thing, because if we could anticipate them, no doubt we'd run the other way and we wouldn't get the benefit from them. We don't plan to have a flat tire or a crisis. They are unplanned and unpredictable when we least expect them. That's what makes a problem a problem. Fourth fact about problems. Problems are purposeful. Purposeful. Problems can have a purpose. They can be productive. Pressure produces stress and suffering can accomplish something good in our lives. It has value, which kind of leads me to the next part of what I want to talk about, and that is, what is the purpose of problems? Because James is going to tell us three primary purposes that problems have. First of all, he says, problems test my faith. And that's the part to fill in there. Test my faith. He uses the word testing, and it's the same word used in the Bible, often to talk about testing gold or silver. You'd heat them up very hot until the impurities, the dross, would burn off. Job talks about that in his own experience. He said, he, speaking of God, has tested me through the refining fire, and I have come out as pure gold. In other words, think about Job's experience. There's hardly anybody here that has had the kind of challenges and problems that Job experienced in his life. And yet he says, it was part of God's refining process in my life. It tested my faith. It purified me. I like to say that Christians are a lot like tea bags. You don't know what's inside of them until you drop them in hot water. Then you know. Your faith and my faith develops when things don't go as we planned, and it gives us an opportunity to purify our faith. The second purpose of problems is that problems develop endurance. James says the testing of your faith develops perseverance. He's talking about staying power, not a passive patience, but staying power, endurance, the ability to keep on keeping on, the ability to hang in there. The Greek here is literally the ability to stay under pressure. Now, you and I, we don't like pressure. Most of the time, we do everything we can to avoid it. We'll run from it. We'll take drugs, drink alcohol, go to Disneyland, anything to get away from pressure. But God wants to use problems in our lives to teach us how to handle pressure, how to never give up. So how does he do that? How does God teach you patience? By everything going your way? No. God teaches patience in traffic jams, in grocery lines, in the waiting periods of life. We live in a comfortable and convenient society, and everybody wants it now. If I can't have it now, forget it. Endurance today is a rare quality. Third purpose of problems. Problems mature my character. Mature character. James says, but let the process go on until that endurance is fully developed, and you will become a person of mature character. In other words, problems can help me grow. They can help me mature. And really, that's God's long-range goal. God's ultimate purpose is maturity. He wants us to grow up. He wants the Christian life, the ultimate purpose, to be a character like Jesus. That's the bottom line. Now, many Christians have absolutely no idea of God's agenda in their life. They don't know what's happening. And as a result, they're overwhelmed by problems. But when you stop and think about it, if God is going to make me like Jesus in my character, he's likely going to take me through the things Jesus went through. There were times when Jesus was lonely. times when he was tired, times he was tempted to be depressed or discouraged. Now, the Bible says there are two ways that God makes us like Jesus. The first way is through the Word of God, the Bible. John 17, verse 17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." The Word makes us like Jesus. It builds our character. It matures us. It sanctifies us. But when you stop and think about it, even if you read the Bible 2 hours a day, how many hours of your life are you not reading God's Word? So God works to make us like Christ even more in the second way, through the circumstances of our lives. In other words, God wants to make a masterpiece out of you and out of me. He wants us to reflect perfectly the character of Jesus. He wants us to be mature, complete, not lacking anything. That's actually a picture of Jesus. That's what he wants you to be like. So yes, reading the Bible is part of what will help that happen, but also circumstances, and it turns out problems are part of our life circumstances. In this case, James is saying, look, they're going to help you mature. So that leads me to the last part of what I want to talk about today, a faith that handles problems, and that is some practical steps that you and I can take in our journey with Jesus in handling the problems in the circumstances of our individual lives. The first step is simple. We need to rejoice. James said, remember, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials. Now, let's not misunderstand what he's saying. He's not saying fake it, put on a plastic smile and pretend. God never asks us to deny reality. He doesn't mean some kind of a psychological pump up based on nothing. He's also not talking about masochism. Oh, good, I get to suffer. I just love to suffer. I feel so spiritual when I feel bad. He's not saying that we should have a martyr complex. Now make sure and highlight this next sentence. We don't rejoice for problems, but we can rejoice in problems. Remember, God's number one purpose in our lives is to make us like Jesus in our characters. And that means God is much more interested in building my character than in making me comfortable. Check out this verse from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. It's one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible, I think, but here it is. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. Now notice, again, it says in everything, give thanks. It doesn't say for everything, give thanks. Why should I thank God for giving me leukemia? Oh, thank you for that accident, or thank you for that war, or thank you that I just lost my mother. No, what kind of God do we think he is? It says, in everything, give thanks. Why? Well, it means we can thank God because we know that he can take even the bad circumstances in our lives and turn them around and bring good out of it. In fact, I don't even care where your problems come from. You may have caused them yourself. The devil may have caused them. They may be a problem that society has brought on you, but the source of your problems doesn't really matter. God can use them all for your growth and his glory. So what makes the difference? Your attitude. Notice, back to James. He says, consider it pure joy. That word consider means to take a deliberate look at. It means to evaluate, to make up your mind once and for all. In other words, while I'm living in the present circumstances, I look to the forward benefit of the problems that I'm facing. Although I cannot control the circumstances that happen to me in life, I can control how I will respond to them. Viktor Frankl was a Jewish psychologist who spent time in a Nazi concentration camp in Germany. He says about his experience, when he first got to the concentration camp, they stripped me naked. They took everything, my wedding ring, my watch my father had given me, And I stood there naked in front of the German soldiers, and all of a sudden I realized at that moment that although they could take everything away from me, my wife, my family, my possessions, they could not take away my freedom to choose how I was going to respond. Friend, you can choose to rejoice in any situation. Psalms 34, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That means even when I don't feel like it, even when things aren't going well. Problems do not automatically produce blessings, however. For some people, problems end up destroying them. You'll either be bitter or better. And the difference between bitter and better is the letter I. I make the difference, my attitude. I get to choose how I will respond to problems. So James is encouraging us to choose to rejoice. That's the first step in handling problems. The second step, and again, this is one of the fill in the blanks on the outline, is to relax. And you might just add asking God for wisdom. But the big idea is to relax, asking God for wisdom. Or another way to say it would be pray. Of all the times to pray, pray when you've got problems. Now, what do you pray about? Well, here's James' advice. Let's look at verse 7. If in the process, and by the way, this is the Phillips translation, if in the process any of you doesn't know how to meet any particular problem, you only have to ask God, who gives generously to all men without making them feel guilty. And you may be sure that the necessary wisdom will be given to you. So what ought we to pray for? Well, we ought to pray for wisdom when we're in the middle of problems. Now you might be wondering, why should I pray for wisdom? Well, I would suggest so you don't waste the opportunity the problem gives you to grow. If you don't learn it this time, there will likely be another lap around the desert. God will give you another opportunity down the road to learn the lesson you failed to learn this time. So why extend the learning process? Why not just learn now the character-building trait God wants you to learn in the midst of the problems you're going through? You and I, we become overwhelmed when we don't understand what God's doing. So we need to pray for wisdom. And wisdom at its core is seeing life from God's point of view. In the context that we're talking about it today, wisdom would be praying for understanding in the midst of our problems. There's no situation of life that you can't learn from if you have the right attitude. Now remember, don't ask why. Ask what. We've already learned that the why of problems is to purify our faith and to fortify our patience and to sanctify our character. That's the why. But now we should be asking, what do you want to teach me in this problem, Lord? Give me wisdom so I can understand. So the first step was to rejoice. The second step was to relax, relying on God's wisdom to be available to help us. The third step is to rely. Rely on God, believing he will help. In other words, trust God to know what's best for your life. Cooperate with his purpose so you don't short-circuit the process. That's what's called faith. James says, but he must ask in sincere faith, without secret doubts as to whether he really wants God's help or not. Relax and let God work. You know, I look around the churches that I serve and I think to myself, you know, there's probably some people in both of these churches that are going to end up in God's Hall of Fame of Faith. You've maintained a sweet spirit in the odds of incredible pressure. Things that people did to you, situations you've been living with. It's not always easy to have a joyful heart in the middle of the problems. Even when you want to have a joyful attitude, it's still difficult. That's why we need to pray for two things: wisdom to understand the trial and faith to endure the trial. Let me say that again. That's why we need to pray for two things: wisdom to understand the trial, and faith to endure the trial. You need them both. James says you need wisdom to know what's going on so you can learn the lessons that are available, and faith to hang in there and never, never give up. Now, many of us are going through tough times right now. The coronavirus has just knocked the wind out of people's health and out of their family relationships and out of the economy, their jobs. I mean, there's so many things that have been impacted. It's been hard. So let me close by reminding you of something very important, and that is God cares. He cares about you very much. God sees everything you're going through. He's got your number. The very hairs of your head are numbered. He knows exactly where you are. He hasn't lost your number. He cares. Now, God has the power to do something about that problem that you're facing. The reality is he could change it in a snap. He's a miracle-working God. And we wonder sometimes, why doesn't he? Well, again, I want to remind you, because there's a greater purpose. God's more interested in building your character than in making life comfortable. Once you've learned those character qualities, he may be free to remove that situation. But there's some things in life we're never going to be free from this side of heaven. They're thorns in the flesh. Remember, the Apostle Paul prayed three times for a thorn in the flesh, he called it, to be removed from his life. And the answer he received from the Lord was, no, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. So some of the problems aren't going to be removed this side of heaven. We're going to have to deal with them and carry them. But keep in the back of your mind this thought. Nothing comes into your life or into my life without the Heavenly Father's permission. I want to close with a fantastic promise in James 1, verse 12. This is the Good News translation. And here's what it says. Happy are those who remain faithful under trials, because when they succeed in passing such a test, they will receive as their reward the life which God has promised to those who love him. In other words, God says there's going to be a reward one day. I think the reward that Paul, the Apostle James, is talking about doesn't mean the reward that soul-winning evangelists might get or mega-church-building pastors might receive. I think the reward he's talking about here is the reward that God has promised to people who quietly put up with difficult situations and develop the character of Jesus in their life. He says there's going to be a crown of life for those folks. So cast all your cares upon him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us this passage that we've studied together. We don't often find ourselves feeling like rejoicing when we face problems in our lives, but we're reminded that those problems have purposes. They test our faith. They mature our character. They help us grow. Help us, Lord, as we face problems to honor you in the way that we face them, to learn the lessons you want us to learn, to reflect your character as we go through our lives. Bless us, thou, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you and have a happy Sabbath. We'll see you next time.